I always had these beautiful tools that I could use and utilize to work through anything emotional that I was going through and any sort of mental struggles that were coming up for me that I'd gathered over years of in my own mental health struggles and just living life. And when I became pregnant, I had to really create new ways of looking at those, because not only did I have sort of, it wasn't just situational things going on, there was this whole other hormonal element that had come in that was uncontrollable. And one of my favorite things was just having a shower, sitting in the shower and having a good cry, and that just seemed to work so beautifully for me.
Welcome to the Happy Nurse Podcast. Nurses are the backbone of healthcare, always there to care for strangers as if they were one of their own, often forsaking special moments with their own family in order to ensure another's loved one is being cared for. As nurses, self-care is essential. I am Elena Mullery, nurse educator and self-care mentor for nurses. I'm an RN with 20 years of clinical experience. I have first-hand experience of stress and burnout. It was this experience which led me to develop a passion for personal development and pursue the study of mindfulness, meditation, hypnotherapy, and neuro-linguistic programming. Each episode, I will be promoting self-care strategies to those who always care for others. I have broken self-care down into five aspects: mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and indulgence, to make it easy to ensure all your self-care needs are being met. Each episode, I will interview nurses and self-care gurus from around the world to help you with each aspect of your self-care. Welcome to the Happy Nurse Podcast with Elena Mullery. If you enjoy meditating or you would like to give meditation a try, why not head on over to happynurse.com.au/meditation to download my free guided meditation for stress and anxiety relief. It's 12 minutes of pure self-care.
Hi everyone. Today I am joined by my good friend Shombri Ferrier. Shombri's been on the show a few times now, and she comes on to speak about her three brains and mindfulness and meditation and breath work. So I invited her back today because Shombri is actually pregnant, and I was really intrigued to see how her self-care had changed in any way while she's been on the journey of pregnancy and looking forward to motherhood. So welcome back, Shombri. I love chatting to you.
Thank you, Elena. Thank you for having me back.
Congratulations on your beautiful little bump that you've got there. Not so little. How many weeks are you? 31?
31 weeks. Yeah, getting very close.
That's very exciting. And this is Shombri's first baby, so she's experiencing it for the first time. So, I just thought that I would love to have a conversation with you around how your self-care has maybe changed whilst you've been pregnant, because having, you know, I've got two children myself, and looking back to like 13 years ago when I was pregnant for the first time, I wished I'd known then what I know now. So I'm really intrigued to kind of unpack what you've been doing and find out how you've been looking after yourself. So do you just want to share a little bit about your journey so far, or anything you want to share with us?
Absolutely. Yeah, I suppose I'll give you a little bit of a rundown on what's been happening so far, and then we can go into it in more detail if you have any questions. But I was extremely lucky to be able to choose the position that I wanted to be in for pregnancy, and to really be able to immerse myself fully in this transition. I've been staying pretty much at home. I stopped working about 13 weeks in from around, fairly close. And I had a very unwell first trimester. it was a lot of the fatigue and morning sickness just got to me pretty hard. Whilst that was happening, my fiance was working away, fly in, fly out, and he was on a roster of 3 weeks on and 1 week off. So emotionally, we had also moved to Margaret River, beautiful Margaret River, but I'd moved away from my family and I was sort of just down here in the middle of winter, sick, sleeping on the couch, eating corn chips, and that's about it, crying in the shower.
Do you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, this is really so, like, kind of familiar to me, because when I first became pregnant with my eldest son, I found out I was pregnant the day before we got on the plane to emigrate to Australia. He wasn't planned. He was a beautiful surprise, but very similar. You know, I got here, it was all brand new. I didn't know anyone. I'd left all my family support at home. My husband was working away as well. So yeah, I totally empathize with you. I've been in that situation. And I too was very, very sick. And I ended up giving up work as well because it was just all too much for me.
Yeah, it's just something that if you can do it, I mean, I think it's very beneficial to be able to just give yourself the time and space. But for me, you know, physically, it wasn't the hardest thing being sick. It was the emotional and mental part that being away from family, having my partner away, that was definitely what I struggled with the most for probably the first half of my pregnancy. And within saying that, you're almost, I guess I was just fully absorbed into shedding who I was and creating this human and going into this transition of becoming a mother, but not quite one yet, and not working. I didn't really have anything to distract me. So daily it was thinking about all of the things going on in my body, in my head, emotionally. And pre-pregnancy, I felt a really good within, I suppose, my three brains that I talk about, is I had a really good and healthy mental health and emotional support regime. I always had these beautiful tools that I could use and utilize to work through anything emotional that I was going through and any sort of mental struggles that were coming up for me that I'd gathered over years of in my own mental health struggles and just living life. And when I became pregnant, I had to really create new ways of looking at those, because not only did I have sort of, it wasn't just situational things going on, there was this whole other hormonal element that had come in that was uncontrollable. And one of my favorite things was just having a shower, sitting in the shower and having a good cry. And that just seemed to work so beautifully for me, because it wasn't something that I could rationalize or work through and use my tools. It was just what it was. And so surrendering to just being a mess 1 minute and then completely fine the next was a big adjustment as well.
That's, yeah, I remember it well. It's a roller coaster of emotions, isn't it?
You've just been a ride.
it really is. And I'm sure anyone who's been pregnant or is pregnant that's listening will be like nodding their head, smiling at like I am listening to you.
And looking back on it, I feel like I can laugh and it just sounds hilarious looking back. But it wasn't at the time.
No, it wasn't. And you're doing well. You know, I'll share with you, like Tom, my ex-husband, he was working away, as I said. And after 12 weeks, I spat the dummy and went back to Scotland because I was like, I'm out. I'm going back to my family. You're in Indonesia working and I'm here on my own and I'm going back there. So you're doing well.
I was very lucky, I suppose. One of my beautiful closest friends now I went to high school with, and her and I found out we were pregnant probably within days of each other and within a week of our due date together. So
wow,
that was a very, very special to have had her next to me throughout this whole time, and we've both been quite unwell, so it was nice that neither one of us was doing really well, and then you didn't want to text the other one and say, how are you going? I'm great. Oh, okay. Let's not talk to you.
It's beautiful having peer support and someone who's on the same journey with you at the same time, because it can be very isolating if you don't know anyone else who's pregnant or experiencing it, what you're going through, you know, at the same time as you.
Yeah, and you can ask, you know, family and friends who have all been there before, but there's something not quite the same as someone going through it at exactly the same point as you, and you can really relate to, you know, just like now, in terms of timeline and society and where the world is and everything like that, but also just the stage of what's happening day to day as well.
Because coming out the other side, you're going to have each other as well. Once you've both got these beautiful babies in your arms, you know, and you can continue to support each other. And these children will maybe grow up, you know, and be best friends as well. You just don't know what the future holds, but that's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So I think one of the biggest things that came in through some of your work, Elena, is looking at indulgent self-care really became for me something that was only a small part of my self-care routine previously, whereas I do all of the wonderful, more simple things, but and then just have indulgent self-care and every now and then. And I think of indulgent self-care as taking yourself on a date and a message of gratitude to your body. And at this point, being pregnant, I needed a whole lot of gratitude for my body, a whole lot of indulgence.
Yeah, your body's changing daily when you're pregnant, and it's some people like struggle to get their heads around the concept, whereas other people love how it's changing. It's such an individualized thing, pregnancy. You know, we all experience it differently. So that's so awesome that you're really embracing the indulgent self-care, because what better time to do it than when you're busy growing another human inside you, you know?
Definitely. It was a big reminder for myself to come back to self-care. I think pregnancy in itself just reminded me where I was not implementing self-care, and if I was at all, or if I'd forgotten it, and to really come back to that. And that's, I think pregnancy is just in itself self-care.
Yeah, you have to remember, you know, and the toll it's taking on your body, you need more rest, you need more downtime, you need to indulge that indulgent aspects, because, you know, in another, 10 weeks or so, you're going to be a mum with a baby in your arms, and suddenly, you know, indulgent self-care may not be as high a priority as it is now, you know. So yeah, enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. It's something that learning to be kind to myself has been just something that I've journeyed with my whole life. I've always been someone that's very hard on and will push and push and push. And so being kind, learning to ask for help, whether it's just from community, friends, family, my partner especially, and just saying, at the moment, I can't bend down very easily, so can someone help me pick this up?
Yeah, I remember it. I remember getting stuck in the bath at about 32 weeks, you know, I couldn't get out, I had to get help. Oh, yeah. Just
I was in Coles the other day, and the couscous was right at the bottom. I had to climb up the rails to just bring myself back up.
Bless you.
Oh god.
It's funny, isn't it? We love.
So being kind to myself and allowing that indulgent self-care, and very much within like the physical health part, diet became, at the start of my pregnancy, for the first half when I was sick, it was really just giving my body what it asked for. And if that was corn chips and hot chips and a couple of sausage rolls, that's all it was.
Yeah.
And if that's what my body needed, I really listened to my body in the way of just, this is what you need. And when I felt my body was getting, I really lost my appetite afterwards, and I'd started a few nutritional supplements that I needed from certain blood tests and deficiencies. And there came this point where I wasn't as ravenously hungry anymore. And I felt my body was really just getting everything that it needed. Whereas before, it was obvious, it must have just been trying to get all of these stores in and all of these little minerals and vitamins that I was lacking. And now there was this balance, and Bub was somewhat developed as much as possible and is now just, I suppose, in bulking season.
Yeah.
it's not as huge. And so I'm finding that, yeah, just really, I found really listening to my body with what it needed in that aspect and being kind to myself. And if it was just hot chips that I needed, allowing that and not having the guilt that comes with that.
It's funny the things you crave, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you got in both of mine, I couldn't get enough milk in me. Now I don't drink milk. Like, I drink almond milk or soy milk, but back then I was drinking cow's milk and I was drinking 2 liters a day. I just could not get enough inside me with both of them. It's really bizarre, but obviously my body wanted the calcium, or I don't know what it wanted.
Yeah,
that was my thing both times.
For me, it was salt. Anything salty and savory, I would, carbs and salt were my two things. So the hot chips just went down a treat.
Yeah.
especially with nausea, just munching on some corn chips in bed was just perfect. So that was my thing, and noodles. But
yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it?
Really. Yeah.
And the other thing I really craved with my youngest one was chocolate mint, anything that was minty and chocolatey. And now he absolutely loves chocolate mint stuff. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, you start to question, you know, was that because I craved it when I was pregnant? You know, I just, who knows? Like, maybe one day they'll do research on this stuff, but it's really interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. And green apples were another one. I couldn't look at red apples, but green apples were just such a treat.
They're much more sour though than the red ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's.
But I completely went off all greenery, and having a salad was like a chore, whereas I'd had this organic, clean, crisp, beautiful, healthy diet before pregnancy, and then just shoving sausage rolls in my mouth.
I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, whoa, this is not the kind of food you used to bring in for lunch when we worked together, you know? Chambry and I used to be colleagues and she'd come in with all these beautiful salads and I'm listening going, sausage rolls, Chambry?
Changed woman, Elena.
You are. Yeah, it's okay. You're just listening to your body.
Yeah. And so I found it such a chore, and I was going, oh, am I going to have this? I was freaking out thinking, am I going to have this child that is really picky with her food and is going to not eat salads? And so I'm trying to just stuff some lettuce in my mouth.
I'm sure the baby will be fine. Absolutely fine. You worry about that when you're weaning. Don't worry about it now. As long as you're having a healthy, balanced diet, that's all that matters. Eh? Yeah. And hydration, especially in this heat in Perth right now. Well, you're down south, so it's not quite as hot, I imagine, but it's still summer and it's still really warm.
Definitely. So, yeah. That's been something that, for exercise-wise has been, it has been really unseasonably hot down here. But it has been beautiful to just float in the ocean and have all the the salt water just take away A, your worries, and B, your weight.
I've seen your photos on Instagram. It looks heavenly.
Oh,
and beautiful. I think it's beautiful that you've realized that you need to be kind to yourself and ask for help, because that's two things as a new mom I was really rubbish at. So, and I think that didn't help me, you know, in the struggles of becoming a new mom. And I think that's beautiful that you've already started embracing that concept, because that's going to be really good for you when you do have that beautiful baby in your arms in a few weeks, well, longer than that, a couple of months. But yeah.
Yeah, it was always something that I've been very, I'll do it. I'll do it. Don't worry about it. I'll do it. And then on top of that, go and offer, you know, help to someone else. And I think asking for help and receiving, being able to receive, is probably even harder for me than asking for help and just saying thank you. Yes, I will have help from community. I will have someone, if they want to cook me a meal and freeze it and bring it over. Yes, thank you. I'm just not saying no and just allowing within my own boundaries, but allowing myself to receive and our little family to receive is going to be huge. And I think the other thing I wanted to mention was pre-pregnancy, my non-negotiable was in self-care, sleep. I think I spoke about it in our first episode that we did, Elena, and it was...
I love that you're just referring back to the questions I usually ask. This is, my job's really easy here today.
This is like the first time in, you know, 7 months that my brain's actually functioning. So
you're doing my job for me. I love this. Thanks, Sean.
And yeah, we were discussing, you know, my non-negotiable is sleep. And if I can do all the right things, I can exercise, I can eat healthily, I can maintain my hydration, but if I don't get enough sleep, everything falls apart. And as a beautiful juxtaposition in pregnancy, I have pregnancy insomnia.
Oh, bless you.
I have always been able to sleep and nap anywhere, anytime. I remember being on a trip in Europe with a girlfriend, and we were on like one of those bus tours, and it would be 4 hours every day to like the next country or the next spot. And I would just be like one of those dolls that you lie down and the eyes close and they go to sleep. I've always been able to do it. And I thought, brilliant. This would be great as a mum, and I've been in the training for years, and now I cannot. I'm a wide awake all hours of the night, and that's been a big test now.
Yeah, but you're getting to that latter stage of pregnancy where Bub will be very active at some parts of the night as well.
Oh, yes.
It's getting comfortable too, because you can't, like, I'm a tummy sleeper, so when I was pregnant, I struggled with that as well. I'm doing the actions here. Nobody can see me except Chambray. But, you know, and I really struggled because I couldn't get comfortable. And I remember my husband, he used to laugh because I'd get into bed and I'd have this like body pillow, and then I'd have these other pillows, and he'd be like, are you in your cocoon yet? And I'm like, no, I'm still not comfortable. And it became a bit of a joke, you know, because I couldn't. Yeah, I feel you. I remember him.
Yeah. Jack came in the other night, and just like, I was having a nap and I had all of my pillow cocoon around me. And he just threw all of the pillows, thinking it was this hilarious joke from the couches and all the living rooms, and just like threw them on me. And I thought, you think this is quite funny, but I'm very grateful for all the pillows. I just kept piling them up and using more.
Just put them in appropriate places just to get your body right on the right angle.
Yeah. I've always been the backs. Like, I can sleep on, I really enjoy sleeping on my back. And that's one thing that now at this point I can't do. And so trying to just go from one side and then needing to roll over an hour later or whenever, and trying to keep everything in without feeling the pain of the everything separating.
Yeah.
Is, Yeah, and keep all the pillows in place, or then readjust the pillows.
The pillows and the Gaviscon on the nightstand. That was the only thing for the indigestion that would get you in the middle of the night. I remember that one too.
Oh, yeah. So it's beautiful, you know, the time that I get to really sleep, when between Bub sleeping is when Jack goes to work, and I just steal all of his pillows and go back to sleep for another couple of hours, and that's my sleep now.
That's awesome that you're allowing yourself to do that and not putting yourself under any pressure to get up, because yeah, you know, that's a huge part of your self-care as well. You said, you know, you sleep was a non-negotiable before, so you're still honoring yourself and your needs and having that sleep and letting yourself sleep in the morning, which I think is brilliant. And you know, when Bub arrives, if it's the same thing, you know, when baby sleeps, mum sleeps. I was very much of that opinion, especially at that early point in the day, because my eldest, he used to be up multiple times in the night, but he would sleep from like 5 through till about 9:30. So I slept as well, and people would be, oh, do you want to come to this like baby rhyme time, or we'll meet for coffee or whatever. Like, no, I'll be asleep. Like, I'm not, I'm sorry, I'll be asleep, because he'll be asleep, so I'm sleeping too, or so I can get through the rest of the day. Yeah, non-negotiable. Yeah.
My diary does not start until 10 o'clock at the moment. And that, I think that was something that I struggled with throughout pregnancy, is that I always loved routine. I was someone that loved routine. And as soon as I was sick with morning sickness, trying to drag myself out just to do any kind of yoga or my meditation, it just became all like, it was almost like I was allergic to all self-care routine, anything spiritual practice, anything just routine, I was allergic to, and just couldn't even think of doing that. And I think, yeah, as soon as 30 weeks came around, I finally accepted, finally surrendered, and said, okay, mornings are not mine. I don't need routine. I'm not going to have one for quite some time. And even if I do, it's going to look very, very different to how it did before. So let's just work with what we've got.
Yeah, just, I think that's one thing like pregnancy and motherhood prepares you for, is that you have to learn to go with the flow. Because if you're trying to micromanage and control, that's when you add extra stress onto yourself. And, you know, suddenly you've got this extra human that needs you, and you're you can't kind of be self-centered anymore, because you know, it's, yeah, just, it's a game changer. And like, you can't, I know how many people said to me, you know, your life's about to completely change, and I was like, yeah, whatever. No one can prepare you for it, and you can read all the books you want, and I'm sure anyone who's listening who has had a baby will understand what I'm saying, you know, but it's the most beautiful transition in your life at the same time, you know, and suddenly you've got this amazing baby and this unconditional love, and it's just, it's beautiful, but it is, it's that just learning to go with the flow, you know, and doing what's right for you. And I think I speak from being a mum of two children with ADHD. So obviously I've had to throw the traditional parenting books out the window and learn to just go with the flow with them. And I wished that I'd had the insight I have now back when I did have newborn babies, because I probably put myself through a lot more stress than I actually needed to, just by trying to be in control and live up to other people's expectations of what I should be doing, rather than just listening to myself and doing what was right for me and my children. So yeah, that's awesome that you're just surrendering and going with the flow, because that'll stay young. You're going to rock this motherhood thing, Chambre. You've got it sorted already.
Thanks. I don't know how sorted I've got it, but I feel I'm getting there.
And you've got, mum's not far away. She's in Perth, isn't she?
Yeah. So there, I think her plan is to come down and just, and be around. They've got a house not too far away. So she'll be here if I need her. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it, I think the other thing is that support, you know, is like we were talking about before, and I may not have had a huge amount of it at the beginning, and there's been this beautiful shift that's happened, and Jack's home now every night, which was such a blessing to before having him away and being able to have family support. And I suppose part of that was then me asking and saying, I need some help. I need some emotional support. Yeah, that's been really special. So it is, if you have, you know, support, and I think you will always have support in various differing ways if it's not in how you originally think.
Yeah, and that was a huge thing for me. You know, I mean, I've never shared this on the podcast before, but I will now. I mean, this was back in 2008, I moved to Australia. But as I said, you know, we found out I was pregnant the day before we got on the plane. At 13 weeks, I'd lost 10 kilos. I was so sick. My husband was working in Indonesia. I was on my own, and I got on the plane and went back to Scotland for a few weeks just to have family support around me. That few weeks turned into 2.5 years. And bless him, Tom, my ex-husband now, he managed to get a transfer back to Scotland, and I ended up having the baby back there just because I needed that family support network around me. There was something in me new. I had to get myself back there. And my family were all absolutely amazing, you know, and they all kind of came around and helped me out. And yeah, but I know I couldn't have done it out here on my own without them around. And like, that was, you know, it's one of these life lessons. It wasn't the fact that we were giving up on our Australian dream. You know, we came back 2 years later with this two-year-old rather than just saying, oh, we're not doing it again. And the second time round, you know, well, I've been here ever since, you know, I'm nearly 11 years in. But it's that, and as you said, you know, it's that support, it's needing that support around you. And I knew no one here. And yeah, it was a real kind of, it was a funny time. And of course, all the pregnancy emotions were involved as well. And yeah, I look back then and think, my poor husband. But yeah, we're still very good friends, as you all know, so it's okay. But yeah, the guys go through a lot as well, I think, when you're pregnant, because they have to deal with this emotional bag of, they don't know what they're coming home to, because we don't know what's happening inside our own bodies either. So yeah, but it's a big transition in your life. But yeah, I think you're nailing it, and you've got your head wrapped around it all, and you've got the support in place, and you're looking after you. And yeah, I can't wait to meet Bob.
Oh, I'm so excited. I think
just one thing I've been thinking I want to ask you while you've been talking.
Yeah, of course.
You mentioned meditation earlier. I didn't meditate when I was pregnant. It wasn't a thing I did. You know, I've went on to do my mindfulness training since. So how do you find meditating while you're pregnant? Like, does Bob love it, or do they get really active? You know, like, I'm interested to know.
It depends. It's something that I'm still like reintegrating. Before, like pre-pregnancy, I did probably between half an hour and an hour of meditation a day, either whether it be split up or in one, and it was very static meditation. And I would just sit in that lotus position, and it was just for me, the, you know, either integrating what had been through the day or what I need to do, or just to have that peace and quiet and come back to clarity and presence within my life. And that all went out the window very frustratingly during pregnancy. And now just allowing myself, whether it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, or sometimes it can be half an hour, to just sit. And it looks slightly different. I may not be as focused, but Bob loves it. She really does. And it is, in a way, it's a beautiful way to be able to connect with my baby. And I'll have either both hands on my belly or one on my heart and one on my belly. And sometimes she'll just be, you know, boxing the whole time, swimming away. Or sometimes she'll just be completely still and sleeping. I suppose it depends what time of day in her schedule it is.
Yeah.
No sleep awake schedule.
Miss up all night.
Yeah, she's been up all night. So if it's nice and early in the morning, she's still sleeping. But yeah. And then even if she is kicking, it's really nice to tune into in really deeply into what her movements are and how they are and what they're doing.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. And I was just thinking as I was listening to you, you know, just having your hand on that, on your bump, and really feeling what she's doing and being completely present with her in that moment, you know, because, yeah, it's such a special, magical time being pregnant. And you don't have, the bump's only there for half of it, you know, and you're only aware of what they're actually up to in there for probably less than half. So it's a very fleeting time when you consider it in your whole life. So yeah, being able to just sit there and be present and really, really connect with her. Yeah. And just feel what she's doing and how, and I bet you she's loving it because you're obviously really calm when you're in that meditative state. So that's sending her that same kind of energy. And yeah, that's gorgeous.
Yeah. She loves it. And I mean, one of the things that I really, probably my biggest struggle in pregnancy was early on, I couldn't connect with her. I didn't feel like I was connected to my baby. I felt the most disconnected from pre-pregnancy. I have always dreamed of being a mother. I have been maternal since coming out of the womb myself. And I have always been, you know, I was never really one for dreaming of marriages or the future too much, but I knew in my heart that my purpose was always to be a mum and could really connect with the vision that way. And then when I was pregnant very early on, probably not until I really started feeling the kicks, and I did feel them quite early, but even still that there was this separation, I just felt like I couldn't connect. And I really struggled with that mentally, having all sorts of thoughts, whether I'd be a good mother, whether I've chosen the right thing, whether now's the right time, just an array of these horrific, scary thoughts were just coming through my head. And I wasn't even doing my meditation, so that probably wasn't helping. And feeling a lack of connection was, yeah, something that, again, I had to surrender to and just sit with it and know that it may come, it may not, until she's out. And I know for some people, some people struggle with postnatal depression. I think I really struggled with a bit of prenatal. And that was, yeah, not connecting to bub early on was probably one of those things for me. So one thing that helped me is journaling and just writing to her each day or each week how I'm feeling. And then I started writing poetry as well. And that was just one of my creative processes that I felt I could get how my emotions out onto the page and onto the paper and do something creative, as well as keeping my mind occupied, as well as letting myself and the page know how I was feeling and really acknowledging that. And this is, you know, coming from someone that nearly failed English in high school and I'm writing poetry. So lots of changes in pregnancy.
Beautiful. And because you are journaling, and you know I'm a huge fan of journaling, you've got this to look back on and share with her one day. And I've got really lax and I don't do it anymore, which I feel bad about. And I wish I had been more kind of strict with myself with it. But when my babies were young, here's a tip for you. I don't know if you've done it yet. I wanted to get them an email address so that they got their names. Okay, bear with me here. And I used to write them, like, they didn't have the email account, obviously, but I wrote them an email every month telling them about what had been happening in their life that month. So now they're all sitting in their inbox when they do eventually get that email address waiting for them. So they've got like this timeline of events throughout the early years of their life waiting there for them so they can. It'll probably be more for my benefit. I've got boys, so they probably won't care, but it's, I know it has been logged somewhere for them.
That's incredible.
It was just something I wanted to do for them, you know. I thought, we've got quite an unusual surname, you know, Mullery's not that common, so I managed to snag their first name and their surname. And like, I've got Elena Mullery in most of the different domains because Mullery is so unusual. So I just wanted to get them theirs. Wow. And yeah, so it's all sitting there waiting on them for one day when they log in and use their own email address. Yeah, and it's funny, I want to have you back on the show once she arrives and you're all established and everything's kind of settling into place. I'd love to have you back because I had Heidi Anderson on the show last year, and she had her little guy, I forget his name now, but she was actually with him while we recorded, and it was gorgeous. And you can hear him even in the, once we edited, we left some of it in, you know, you hear him crying and cooing and stuff. And we were talking about her journey through, you know, becoming a mom in the early months of motherhood. And it was a really awesome podcast. It was well received. So I'd love to have you back just to follow up on this episode and see how things are going and get to meet her.
Of course, I would love that. Little fourth trimester.
Yeah, or even later, like no pressure, you know, just whenever you're ready. Yeah. We'll do this again and we can see how you're traveling because you've got all the strategies in place. I love how you're just nurturing you and you're connecting to her. And I think, like you were saying, you know, you struggled to connect with her early on. You know, I was with you in that both times, I think, because you feel so rotten. And these people who don't feel rotten in the first trimester, they're so lucky because both of mine, you know, I lost heaps of weight. My body changed initially by getting much smaller than it is. I think with the eldest, I lost 10 kilos and the younger one, I lost 7 just because I was so sick. And I struggle to connect too because there's nothing physical to connect to, you know what I mean? But like you, you know, once I hit second trimester and I started to feel movement and see my tummy start to expand, then I started to connect more with them. So I don't think it's uncommon what you've experienced, you know. It's something that
I think it's
and that's not downplaying your experience. I just, you know, I'm just sharing that it's okay to be feeling that way, you know, rather than it being something that you should be concerned about.
Yeah, I think it's something that happens a lot more commonly than we talk about and than we think we do. And something that I suppose lastly is, yeah, we see all of these mothers or pregnant women that are, we have this vision or this mindset, I know I definitely did, that, you know, you kind of need to soldier on and you need to keep doing what you were doing before pregnancy and keep working to a certain level or keep exercising to a certain level. Or we, you know, see role models or people here and there and we think we need to be like that as well. I think for me, stopping complete work completely and luckily I was in the position to be able to do that and I'm very grateful for that and I acknowledge that not everyone can, but to be able to have the time and the space to give to yourself to be in fully in the transition is something very special.
Yeah, definitely. I know the first time I just did some casual, because I obviously went back to Scotland and I was very lucky that the department I worked in prior to leaving. I'd been there for 10 years and I contacted the manager and he was like, yeah, you can have some casual shifts. So I just did the odd casual shift. And then with my youngest one, I worked, again, it was casual because my husband was working fly in, fly out. Mm-hmm. And I just worked, I think I stopped at 30 weeks with him. But yeah, I wasn't putting too much. And I had a three-year-old at home as well. So, you know, the second time round, you don't have the luxury. So enjoy it, Chambray. But I remembered with my eldest, I worked up until like just casual. I think I was only doing 20 hours a week, but I worked in theatres. You know, I was on my feet all day. And I worked up until 36 weeks. So he arrived at 37. So I felt completely done because I was like planning this 4 weeks of just complete me time, you know, and thinking this is going to be awesome. And yeah, in fact, his dad was away working in China and he literally just landed back in Scotland the day before he decided he was making an appearance because he was so early. So.
Oh.
He's still always in a rush, so
something will never change.
Yeah, he was in a rush to arrive and he's still always in a rush. Yeah, bless him. But yeah, oh, it's been wonderful chatting to you and you're looking so well. I know the listeners can't see you, but yeah, and it's lovely to follow you on this journey. And yeah, I'd love to have you back on the show.
I'd love to be back. Thank you so much for having me once again.
It's my pleasure. And you take care. And yeah. I don't like saying good luck because it doesn't feel like the right term. You know what I mean? I'm just, you know, sending love and I can't wait to hear the news that she's arrived and you're both doing well. That's probably the best way to
perfect. Be. Thank you so much, Elena. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Happy Nurse Podcast. If you've enjoyed today's content and would like to join the Happy Nurse community, head over to Facebook and check out the Happy Nurse AU Facebook page and request to join the Happy Nurse community. Also, check out happynurse.com.au for access to free downloads and subscription to my blog. See you soon, and in the meantime, remember to always offer yourself the same compassion that you so freely give to others.